It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Pivot off the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
You lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. You know what that makes you, Larry?
Lollygag.
Lollygaggers. What's our record, Larry?
8-16.
8-16. How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Just a friendly reminder, the Off the Wall podcast is brought to you by DirecTV. Don't just watch TV, DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. The normal players are here, as they usually are, Chris Sheeran, myself, and Joe Auriemma, who will be joining us in just a bit. And our special guest star to start off the podcast this week is Mr. Brian Hoke of Yankees.com and MLB.com. Brian, hello. How are you?
Hi, Chris. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
No problem. We appreciate the time. Brian, of course, is down in Tampa Bay covering the New York Yankees. Spring training got underway February 14th. Pitchers and catchers reported. And pretty much, Mr. Hoke, the first story that kind of started raining down on everybody in Yankee land was CC Sabathia and his opt-out. So what is the very latest on that?
Well, the very latest is what he said when he showed up, which is basically a reversal from what he'd been saying. You know, CC has said for years now that there's no way I'm going to opt out. I'm here. I'm gonna stay with the Yankees. You know, this is where I am, and this is where I want to be. And he's been very consistent with that until the day he showed up. And he never said he was going to opt out, but what he basically said was, anything can happen. And, you know.
You say so, that in New York. You have problems.
So that's when you say that sort of thing, and maybe that's, his representative getting in his ear and saying, you know, why don't we keep our options open?
Right.
I really do believe CC Sabathia wants to be a Yankee. He wants to be here. He wouldn't have built a $15 million house in Alpine, New Jersey, if he didn't plan on staying for a while. But when you see a guy like Cliff Lee go and get the money he got, you know, CC is making $23 million this year, which I think you or I would be very happy to. But
just hey, 1 year. That's
sure,
all
but,
I need.
and he's guaranteed that. But, you know, maybe there's a raise out there. And certainly CC's earned that right. He's got that leverage. And I think that if in the event he has another great season, if he has another 21 wins like he did last year and pitches the Yankees into the playoffs and then opts out, what are the Yankees going to do but write him another big check?
Yeah,
so,
you can't. Yeah, you can't.
Certainly all in his ballpark.
You can't blame the guy for doing it. He came into camp. He shed 25 pounds. He cut the Captain Crunch out of his diet. He's no longer fighting over the Captain Crunch cereal with his son, which I thought was hysterical. But he came in. He came in trimmed down. So, you know, like, he's in shape. He's ready to go. If he has like you said, if he has another year where he has 20 wins and he gets the Yankees back into the playoffs, you know what? You can't blame CC Sabathia for maybe wanting to opt out and see what else is out there for him.
Yeah, and like I said, I think that, all right, he might entertain offers from other teams. I think it would certainly be within his rights and probably in his best interest to do so, just to see what the dollar amount would be. But like I said, I really do take CC at his word when he says he wants to be here and he wants to be a Yankee. You look at the way he entrenched himself in this clubhouse from basically day one. He was like the Pied Piper, you know, among the pitchers. You know, he just made friends instantly, took guys to NBA games, went fishing with them. I mean, CC has very quickly made himself a pillar of the Yankees, and in a very short amount of time, I find it hard to picture the Yankees without him.
That is a great point, Brian, especially with the fact Andy Pettit is no longer in that clubhouse. So to have CC, who has, as you said, entrenched himself and made himself a pillar from day one, that's great. So now all the youngsters who are being bandied about in the Yankees farm system, who we'll get to a bit later in this call, now they have someone to latch onto as well, especially, as you said, CC wants to be here. So I don't think you have to worry about him either. Now, CC came into camp 25 pounds lighter. Jabba Chamberlain, now we don't have eyes down there. You are our eyes right now. They said he's a little heavier. So what's the deal with Jabba?
Yeah, the scale doesn't lie, and that's what Brian Cashman said, is that he is heavier. You know, you could see it visually. He does look bigger. I think we can all agree on that. The question is that muscle or fat? And I spoke to Jabba yesterday. You know, we went into some detail about it, and he says it's a lot of muscle. He said he built a gym in the basement of his Lincoln, Nebraska home. You know, he's got basically everything the Yankees have here, but a miniaturized version of it. So he's got a treadmill, a weight bench, you know, a power plate machine, all this stuff that the Yankees prescribed so he could follow the workouts. And he basically said that after the All-Star break last year, and if you go look at his numbers after the All-Star break, they are much better than his first half numbers.
Right.
He said he started lifting a lot after the All-Star break, and basically he loved the results and wanted to keep that going. Now, is it all muscle? I don't know. I mean, I don't have a caliper that I can go test Jabba with. I mean, he certainly looks bigger. But the one thing I will say about Jabba, I do believe him that some of it is muscle, because he does look a lot bulkier in the chest area, and that's not necessarily where you would gain fat. So I do believe him. He's been working out. He probably does have to drop a few pounds. But, you know, like Sabathia said, he's going to lose 5 to 10 pounds just by going through spring training.
That's another thing.
Jabba,
yeah.
If Jabba does that as well, he probably will be pretty close to where he should be by opening day.
And if you're taking protein drinks, you're gaining weight, and you're gaining weight in your stomach. I mean, then when you're done lifting, and he maybe thought, hey, I'll do it as long as I can, come into spring training, and then lose that little bit of belly fat during spring training. So it remains to be seen, but it's nice to have eyes down there on the subject, and we appreciate that update on Mr. Chamberlain, Brian, because believe you me, our listeners want to know everything Yankees. So let's move along here. Now, they have some questions in the rotation, as we all know. The 4 and the 5 spot are up for grabs. You have Freddie Garcia, you have Bartolo Colon, you have Sergio Mitre, and you have Ivan Nova and some other youngsters who are vying for those spots. I know it's only the first week, Brian, but who do you think right now has the inside track?
I think that of that group, if I had to make a guess, and this is just based on my own personal opinion,
right,
I think that Freddie Garcia and Ivan Nova probably get the nod to be in that rotation. But again, that's not saying that that's locked in any sort of stone. I think that, Joe Girardi said this could go down to the very end of camp, and I do believe, especially with the fifth starter being wide open, it probably will. So they're going to give all these guys a chance. They're all starting on equal footing, so to speak, and but I think that, for me, you have to look. Garcia was a reliable pitcher for the White Sox last year. I know that he's probably not what he once was. But, again, with the bullpen that the Yankees have compiled here, you're really just looking for a guy to give you five-plus innings,
right,
and get the ball to the pen. And I think that Garcia proved he can consistently do that. Yeah, at least he did so last year. If he does that again, they should be okay. And then Nova showed a lot of promise. I remember there were a bunch of games where it looked like he was struggling to get to the fifth inning, or to get through five. But, you know, he's got room to grow. They're obviously very high on him, and I think that he should have the inside track on one of those rotation slots.
Absolutely. Now, what about, because a lot of people are curious, including myself, about Bartolo Colon. He was out of baseball all of last season. So how does he look in camp so far?
Well, we're talking about Jabba. And, Bartolo Colon is much bigger than Jabba.
Okay.
So let's say that. But we asked Girardi about that today, and he said that the one thing he remembers about Colon, and obviously he's a long way removed from his heyday when he was a Cy Young Award winner, but the thing he remembers about Colon was he was always able to command. He could spot his pitches well, and that was really one of his strengths. And even though the stuff might not be the same as it was, you know, back in the day, just from judging his bullpens here so far, Girardi says he's still got that. So maybe he's dealing with diminished stuff, but he showed them enough during winter ball to at least earn an invite. And, you know, like I've been telling a lot of people, everybody kind of jumps off the bridge and says, why are they inviting all these guys to camp, all this? It's really nothing ventured, nothing gained. You bring them to camp, you give them a look, you give them some innings, and if you don't like them, they're gone. And, you know, so if Colon doesn't work out for the Yankees, he's gone by the third week of camp. What did they really lose except some meal money?
Hey, Brian, how are you? It's Joe Auriemma.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Good, good. I actually wanted to switch it over to the catchers now, and Jorge Posada. What was his arrival like, and what's it been for him really not to work with a lot with the catchers this year?
He's actually been working a lot with the catchers down
here. Oh, that's good.
He's not, He's not wearing the gear, and he's in the bullpens. And Joe, you remember, I'm sure, watching those guys in the bullpen. You know, Tony Pena spitting balls in the machine at them,
yep.
and the guys down on their knees blocking balls. Posada is actually the guy picking up the balls and putting them in the bucket.
That's
out here,
awesome.
Which blows my mind to see him doing that. But it tells you he still just wants to be around the catcher. I've seen him talking a lot to Russell Martin. He's talked a lot to Francisco Cervelli, Jesus Montero, Austin Romine. It's almost like he's an assistant coach to Tony Pena here. You know, they're not sure how much catching he's going to do. He's going to get in the bullpens at some point. They're trying to take it easy with him physically because you remember he had that surgery.
Right.
But they will have him squatting at some point. He might even get in a few spring training games, but really they want him to kind of adjust to this DH role and get most of his at-bats that way.
You know, one thing that Francisco Cervelli did in the offseason, as we saw, was he worked with Robinson Cano down in the Dominican Republic on his offense. And, you know, the Yankees have options now. They have Russell Martin. They have Francisco Cervelli. They have Jesus Montero. They have Romine waiting in the wings. So, in your opinion, what is this? What three players are going to really make this squad? We know Russell Martin's going to be the starting catcher, but do you think Montero's got a shot to be on the big club?
I think Montero definitely has a shot. You know, Girardi was talking about that yesterday, and he basically said that they are considering Montero to be the backup catcher. They don't think he necessarily needs to play every day down at AAA, which I think a lot of people were wondering about.
Right.
You know, Girardi said that you can learn just as much by playing one or two days a week at the big league level as you can as playing every day down at AAA. So I think that if we flash forward to April and Jesus Montero is at AAA and Francisco Cervelli is the catcher, I think that what that's telling you is they didn't think Montero was ready to be the backup catcher,
right.
You know, whether it be offensively or defensively. And given that the case, it would probably be defensively. But, no, he certainly has a shot. I think that it's probably going to be between Montero and Cervelli to be the backup catcher here, and Romine probably finishes third in that mix. But, no, I think that he's definitely getting a fair shake, and Posada at that point is just going to be an emergency third-string catcher.
All right, now to A.J. Burnett. You know, a lot of people – you know, a lot of Yankee fans want to see this guy turn around from the 10-15 season that he had last year. What are some of the things that he's saying in this first week of camp?
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants that more than AJ, I believe. And, you know, certainly the Yankees need that to be true, given that they lost Andy Pettitte and didn't sign Cliff Lee. No, a big season by Burnett would be huge for them. He needs to bounce back. You know, he mentioned that he was having some trouble focusing. You know, mm-hmm. his mind would wander on the mound. His confidence wavered last year. He was talking about there were times he would stand on the mound and feel like, you know, I'm supposed to have the stuff to dominate this guy, and I feel like he's comfortable in the box. And, you know, I'm thinking back to when Burnett was with the Blue Jays. Johnny Damon and Derek Jeter went to Brian Cashman and said, you've got to get this guy because
yeah.
we don't want to face him anymore. And that guy was not on the mound for the Yankees last year. They need to get that guy back. Larry Rothschild is working on some mechanical tweaks with him. They think that a lot of it may be mechanical, but certainly there's some confidence issues there. He was shaken by that year, and after the season, he was flying home from the ALCS, and you know, in that plane, he said, I didn't do anything this year. You know, so he doesn't want to be that guy. He came to New York to pitch, to be the number two guy behind CeCe Sabathia, and I think that Phil Hughes has probably jumped him. I think that AJ would like to get that back.
Now, Brian, we know last year the most surprising story out of camp actually was the weather, because there was even one day in Tampa where it was 43 and it was 47
right.
in New York. That doesn't seem to be the problem this year. What is the most surprising thing that you've seen so far out of camp?
Most surprising thing so far? Wow. Well, maybe it would be CeCe Sabathia, the day he walked in. You know, obviously we'd all heard rumors that CeCe was working out. I talked to CeCe in December, and he mentioned he'd already lost 15 pounds and was hoping to drop another 15. But just to see his face, he looked like a completely different guy. I almost didn't recognize him. He's clearly worked out a lot to take that pressure off his knee. And, you know, as we discussed earlier, he's certainly got financial motivation to do so, because if he has another great year, he can opt out and get another big deal from the Yankees. But I think that the work CeCe put in and just, you know, his presence right now in that clubhouse is probably the most surprising thing so far.
Brian, just a couple more from me. First and foremost, Joe and I would like to congratulate you on running the New York Marathon. That's tremendous out of you. I don't know how the heck you did it, but you did it.
Oh.
And that has to be put out there. If you don't know, but Brian trained for it and he did it. What was your time when you finished?
I finished in, thank you. I finished 4:52.19, which was a little slower than I was kind of hoping. I was kind of hoping to break 4:30, but you know what? The most important thing for me was just to cross that finish line, and definitely the most challenging and rewarding thing I ever did, because you take that training program and you mix it with the travel around the country and the Yankees, and that was tough, but you know, finished it, can say, always say I did it, and, you know, probably be one and done on that, but just check it off the list.
You're an inspiration to me. I'd probably still be running if it was me with my knees, if that was the case. But just to throw it out there and put a little birdie on your shoulder, if that New York press baseball team needs an arm, I am available when you guys take on the Boston media.
Oh, I know. I believe it, because we could probably use the pitching help, because I got a start last year at Yankee Stadium, and I got knocked out after four innings. So
it happens.
Maybe we would need couldn't command my fastball that day. You know, Chris, maybe you'll have better luck.
I'm just throwing it out there. That's all I'm saying. Just putting a little birdie on your shoulder. If you need somebody, I will be ready to go.
I'll tell you what, it's a great reminder. I don't get to play ball nearly enough anymore, but it's a great reminder how hard this game really is.
Absolutely.
You know, it looks easy when you're watching it on TV. It looks so simple or from the press box, but you're down there on the field and you've got to execute. It's tougher than you think.
Yeah, curveballs are a little harder to hit when you're in the box and not on the couch.
We've all learned that one the hard way.
Oh, how could he let that go? Because he didn't really realize it until it was crossing the plate. Yeah, that's right. All right, Brian, listen, you always do a tremendous job for us. We really appreciate it. We really want to thank you for coming on and spending some time, and hopefully we can do this again before the spring is out. We're going to be down there March 1st through the 8th, and if you could spare some time when we are down there as well, I'm sure our listeners and Joe and myself will be more than happy to have you back on. We appreciate it, buddy.
Okay, no problem. Anytime, guys.
Look forward to it. All right, take care, Brian. That's Brian Hoke of Yankees.com and MLB.com. We'll be back on the Off the Wall podcast right after this.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma coming at you. And once again, we are brought to you by DirecTV. Don't just watch TV, DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Now, we just want to thank Brian Hoke one more time from Yankees.com and MLB.com for hopping on and being our eyes down there in Tampa for this Off the Wall podcast. Brought up a couple of interesting things. The surprising thing he said was CC Sabathia, and I think that would be the obvious thing. He lost close to 30 pounds, I guess, and he's going to lose a little bit more. And as we heard, he stopped fighting over the Captain Crunch with his son, and he's getting into better shape. And like Brian said, let me just go into this with my thoughts. I really don't think, because a lot of Yankee fans were hitting me up on Twitter and asking me about CC, and they're worried that he's going to opt out, he's going to go someplace else. Listen, it's just like Brian said. He built that house in Alpine, New Jersey. He's doing this for his well-being. He's doing this for, you know, for when he retires. He wants to get the most amount of money he can over the length of his career, and there's only a couple places you can do that. And one of them is where he is right now, and he's very comfortable where he is right now. His kids are in school. He's got the house. He's got everything going for him here. He's got a World Series championship under his belt. But you have to remember, this guy is a professional athlete, and he's trying to take care of his family. That's why he gave up to Captain Crunch. With all apologies to the captain, you know, CC really wants to slim down, have another great year. And if he does have a great year in this opt-out year, he could opt out. But even if he does, that doesn't mean he's not going to be a Yankee. He's going to rework his deal. And I think you can't fault the guy. And I know he's making $23 million a year. I get it. But if he thinks he could do better, if that's humanly possible, and get more money, who could take that away from him?
You know, it's funny because I actually don't even know if it's even for the money. I think it's more for security. I think he looks at it like, okay, if I have another great year and I opt out now, I'll have four guaranteed years. But I want, you know, to play until I'm in my late 30s, and I want to be in New York, and I want to pitch here. So I want to guarantee myself as many years as possible, and the one team that can guarantee those years along with the money is the Yankees. And I've been saying this, you know, maybe I'm going to receive some criticism for it, but I think if he has a great year, he'd be a fool not to opt out. That's what when he bargained his contract, he got the opt out for that reason.
Why would he put it on there if he didn't maybe want a chance to use it?
And by using it, you know, here's my thought on it. I remember last year he was talking to a lot of the media about, you know, high schools in the area, good high schools in the area to send his son to. Why would he, you know, be talking about that if he didn't want to stay here? He likes it here. He's really engrossed himself in that clubhouse. And to be honest with you, I, again, even if it's at $23.5 million where he's at, I think it's the years. I think he just wants a guaranteed knowing that he's going to be here not just for four, but for 6 years.
That is a fair point. So maybe six, maybe even seven. Maybe yeah. He gets a third year tacked on to the 4 years he already has guaranteed. Who knows? As far as Jabba's weight is concerned, can we pipe down? I mean, let him get on the mound first. Let's see what he's going to do. But you know, because this was brought up the second day of spring training or the first day or whatever it was, and I could see it. I could see it on the back page of the Times, not the Times, the back page of the Post or the News. The minute he blows an early game, you know, Jabba the Hutt. And I'm not trying to be fun. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. Because it was brought up so early in spring training and because the weight was an issue, I really think that if he built this gym in his basement in Lincoln, Nebraska, and he was working out, I could tell you from experience, when you drink a protein shake and you're trying to put on mass, not only do you put on mass, but you get it around the belly too. You do, because let's face it, it's sugar, it's protein, and you build up bulk, but you also build up some bulk around the spare tire area. But then when you get to spring training, you start running around every day. That's when you lose the excess fat and you chisel down even more. Now, I'm not down there. I can't physically see what he looks like. Okay, I will be March 1st through March 8th, as will Joe. And you should follow us on YesNetwork.com, blogs, features, of course, our player interviews, which we get every year. And who knows, maybe even a special feature with Mr. Harlan Chamberlain once again. So, you know, you never know who's going to pop up at Steinbrenner Field for an interview. Talking to Reggie Jackson the past 2 years has been pretty much the highlight of my Yankee life, Mr. October. So you never know. You should follow us for a week. Joe will be down there a little longer. He is doing that feature on Roger Maris's anniversary and Mickey Mantle. It's the 50th year anniversary. Can't believe that. It's 50 years already since they were chasing down Babe Ruth. But you'll look for that too, because Joe will do a tremendous job with that as well. But as far as Jabba's weight goes, let's just put that on the back burner, okay? Let's wait till he gets on the mound and starts facing opposing batters in spring training. As far as the other point that you brought up, I thought it was great what he told us about Posada. That is tremendous insight. He's not really working out that much with the catchers, but he's around them, and he's like a special assistant to Tony Pena. And that's nothing but good, Joe. To have him sitting around and helping these youngsters out and being a mentor while still being involved with the team as a player, that's tremendous.
No, I mean, that's great news, and I don't know anything about a Jabba the Hutt. I know Pizza the Hutt, one of my favorite characters.
You're
from
delicious.
You're delicious, or else pizza is gonna send out for you. So, okay, going back to the Posada point, though, I mean, that's, you know, a lot of people were going to, you know, they were worried about what Posada, how he was going to come to camp. Was he going to be, you know, bitter? Was he going to be, you know, upset with the way things were handled? Nah, I mean, that's tremendous. I mean, for him to be there, it shows you what kind of team player he is. It shows you what kind of guy Posada is. He wants to win just like everybody else. And that's tremendous news. It really is.
And the last point was A.J. Burnett. I just have a gut feeling. This guy has the tools. He's got the talent. And you heard what Brian said in our previous segment. Derek Jeter and Johnny Damon went to Brian Cashman and said, you got to get this guy because we don't want to face him anymore. He has electric stuff. It's just the fact of harnessing it and not getting distracted while he's on the mound. And more that has to do with it is he doesn't really have that out pitch. If his fastball, if he can't locate his fastball and his curveball isn't working, which is nasty when it does, you know he has perfect game or no-hit stuff when he has that fastball popping and the curveball going where he wants it to go. But he doesn't have an out pitch. He doesn't have a changeup. He worked on one last year, but it wasn't good enough to where it could bail him out of situations that he was in. It was either the fastball or the curveball, and basically the hitter knows what's coming. And he has, if you get down in the count 2-0, 3-0, 3-1, if he doesn't have control, you pretty much know what's coming down the pike. And I think that's why he got the blastings that he got last year. But I really think in my gut, with all the distractions gone, with a new pitching coach, he starts anew with Larry Rothschild. And I really think Burnett, even being bumped down to the three, I think that puts it into his head more that he has to work even harder. He wants that number two spot. You know, nothing against Phil Hughes, who actually is right there penciled in as the number two. But AJ really wants that, maybe put a little bit more of a competitive fire in his belly. And I think the sky's the limit with this guy this year.
I can agree with you. I think he's going to have a bounce back year. I was just kind of joking around with a couple of the people around, yes, saying, well, you know, he is a 500 pitcher, and, you know, Yankee fans, he went 10-15 last year, so you could easily see him going 15-10 this year. I mean, that's just the way AJ is. I mean, his stuff is better than a 500 pitcher, but that's what he is. And I think he's going to have a bounce back year. I think he's going to win 15 or more games. I really do. And I think that's going to be a catalyst for the Yankees to be right in the playoff hunt, right there for the wild card and the division.
And don't forget, A.J. Burnett started out 4-0 last year. 4-0. And almost no hit the Tampa Bay Rays in Tampa and that lineup. Put that in the back of your noggin. Okay? Relax. Barring injuries, those top three will be fine. Okay? You can get off the couch now. Our session is over. Just leave the money in an envelope on the desk. Joe and I are done being your psychologists, Yankee fans. Oh, baby. Oh, the madness is about to begin. I'm not talking about college basketball. Say something funny. Oh, boy. I can't wait. It's baseball season. It's spring. It's rebirth. It's renewal. You know, the leaves start coming back. My phone fell off. It's my office. I can't hit my desk. Stuff falls everywhere. The leaves come back. Stuff starts, you know, coming to life. You got the flowers. You got the fresh cut grass. It starts to stay light, late. It's a great feeling. It's great to be alive and breathing right now, Joe.
It's very philosophical of you. Wow. Well, I don't know how to top that, Chris. I got to be honest. I really don't. You know, I've been doing this podcast with you for almost 80 episodes now, over 3 years, almost 3 years. And, yeah, that's brought a tear to my eye. Really did. But going to your point of new baseball season, I mean, this is what it's all about. And look, the Red Sox are going to be good. We've talked about it all winter. The Red Sox are going to be good. I think the Yankees are going to be good. The Rays did not improve at all. I think they're going to be worse. I think the Orioles and Blue Jays are going to be better. I think this is going to be a dogfight in the AL East. No offense to Michael Vick. And I think that this is going to be a tough, tough road. But it's going to be an exciting road. And I think, like I've been saying all winter, you can speculate all you want. Well, you know, the Red Sox are, you know, look at their lineup now and look at their pitching staff. Beckett's going to have a bounce back season and blah, 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 blah. I can say this. until they throw a pitch, sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride, for God's sakes.
If I could just add to that really quick, if you're a fan of Big East basketball, that's going to be a little taste of the AL East this year. They are going to beat the hell out of each other, and it's going to be fun watching it. You never know who's going to win in the Big East. You never know. And every game is exciting.
Enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride. For Joe Auriemma and our special guest star, Brian Hoke, I am Chris Sheeran. We will see you next time on the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Of course, brought to you by DirecTV. Don't just watch TV, DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. I like the best.